My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
All right. Here's the deal, man. We're not going to be in here. It's not doom and gloom. It's a tough night, for sure. But we're gonna fence it a little bit today.
Yeah.
Because I think it's important.
Okay.
Like sometimes, like typically in radio, you want to pick a side, right? You want to be like, I am on this side or this side. And typically, you and I would sit here before a show. Not you and I necessarily, but in a hot take world, we would sit here and go, okay, let's see. We've got the Kings game from last night. I thought that it means they should fire everyone. And you would say, actually, I think this is good. And then we would spend the next 2 hours making our respective cases.
Okay.
The fact of the matter is, as is the case with most things, answer kind of lands in the middle. Like last night wasn't a disaster. In a vacuum of a one game sample, yeah, it was a disaster.
Yeah.
And there were poor performances across the board, and we will talk about it. But also, like, zooming out, they're still in a spot where if they beat the Mavs on Friday, they now have the tiebreaker, they gain that game back, and they're right where they were starting Tuesday night.
Yeah, I think, you know, Sacramento Kings fans, and like you can fan any way that you want. Like,
yes,
the sky is falling is like a customary thing because you're so used to your team kicking you in the teeth and just saying like, look, like, we know you're down. We're going to kick you harder.
Right.
So I think there is this reaction that Kings fans have, and I understand it. And I'm watching that game last night, and like I didn't have a good time watching the game. I know there are media members around me that didn't have a good time watching the game, and I don't want to make excuses. That there's no excuse for the performance that happened last night.
Mm-hmm.
I will point out, because I didn't notice this. So we always talk about three games and four nights. Mm-hmm. This was the Kings' third game in four nights.
Fifth and seven, right?
That's the problem. You don't see five games and seven nights anymore at all.
Yeah.
And this was one late in the season that didn't have to be.
Yeah.
Like we talked about it yesterday. They could easily have this game today for both teams. It would have been better basketball, but I'm going to guess that that's because of the national television schedule.
Yes.
And for me, you know, sure, Dallas was on the second night of a back-to-back as well. But what happened in the third quarter was just, you know, you can't let that happen. You got punched in the face. You didn't respond. And then they, like, you know, they just, like Ralphie beating up the bully in Christmas mm-hmm. Story. You know, they just, like, pounded the Kings into oblivion.
Yeah, and it got away from him, man.
Yeah.
Like, you said it. It was a really good game in the first half.
Yeah.
Luka went for 26, but, you know, hit some tough shots, and I thought the Kings actually did a fine job defensively for the most part. Sometimes a player of Luka's caliber is going to hit some shots,
mm-hmm.
whether you play great defense or not. And then in that second half, it was like the game got away from them a little bit. And we talk about letting go of the rope constantly.
We do.
It just felt like immediately. But Mike Brown brought this up in his post-game press conference. And I noticed this during the game. It was like they got down 10 and went, okay, we need to get it all back in one possession.
3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3.
They
yes.
got out of their offense, and it led to easy buckets for the Mavs. And now all of a sudden, 10-point lead is 18.
Hero
and now
ball.
18 is 25.
Yes.
And at that point, it's over. And I think, and that's where the, okay, look, again, losing by 36 is bad.
Especially
FYI.
At home. Yeah.
At home to a team that is neck and neck with you in the standings.
Huge game.
Can't national TV. You can't turn in a performance like that. Straight up. But on the other hand, I think there's, and Mike Brown talked about this pregame. He talked about it postgame, where, okay, you're going to lose games sometimes, and what do you take from those, and how do you grow from those moving forward?
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot that you can learn from the notion of, like, hey, when a game slips away a little bit and you go from down 4 to down 12 in 2 minutes, like, that doesn't mean, oh my God, shoot a three. Oh my God, throw a full court, cross court, bounce pass on the break instead of just running a 3-on-1 break.
Yeah.
Like, there's all these little things that you can just do better. And frankly, I thought the Mavericks offensively were doing the things the Kings needed to do offensively.
Oh yeah, they definitely play Kings basketball.
Yeah.
I mean, they got in the high pick and roll with Luka.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing they did was with PJ Washington. Shout out to PJ Washington. It looks like he's lost about like 15 pounds.
Yeah, he looks great.
He looked phenomenal. And yeah. And I'm thinking it's possible that it's just the Hornets uniforms that, like, are non-slimming. I mean, I think it's possible that everyone looks bigger in vertical stripes and the Hornets uniforms. But he looked phenomenal, but they kept getting in this high screen role. And Luka just kept finding PJ Washington for wide open three, hit three in a row to start the game. Just boom, boom, boom,
easy.
Boom. And then once that happens, now you have to change your defense.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Luka gets loose.
Yeah.
And then in the third, it was just Kyrie. And you have to understand that team has two of the greatest shot makers.
Yes.
Not shooters, just straight up shot makers.
Yes.
In the world.
Yeah.
And when both of them get firing, you're in a ton of trouble.
Yeah.
Especially if you try to play their game, which is what I thought the Kings tried to do.
Yep.
Out of nowhere, they started dribbling like Luka. They started dribbling like Kyrie.
Yep.
It's like, no, 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 no. Get back to who you are. Get back to the basics.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's ever been a better, like, example of letting go of the rope than what we saw in the second half.
Yep.
Where you saw a team literally, like, in a tug of war back and forth. And then, boom, they're done.
You're down 5 points at the half.
Five at the half, yeah.
It was a 74-43 second half. 74-43. Yikes.
Oof.
I mean, that just, and it happens so fast.
Yeah.
I was taking notes during the game last night, and we'll have some fun with that later. But I was handwriting my notes because all I had was my work computer, and I didn't want to have like a Word doc up. I didn't want to have to do all that.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, I'll just write down. I'll just handwrite some stuff tonight. And I kept looking down to write stuff. And then all of a sudden I look up and this 8-point game is 20 points in like 3 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah.
Like here in the chat, we have David Myers who thinks that we're going to spend the entire show making excuses. We're not making excuses for
anything.
They
got smoked, dog.
They got like stomped. Like they didn't show up in one of the biggest games of the year.
Like if Who did you say this was? David.
Lane Myers' brother, David.
All right, David. Yeah. Here's the deal, man. They got smoked. They didn't play well enough offensively. They didn't play well enough defensively.
Nope.
They got outcoached.
They missed too many shots.
They missed a lot of shots. They gave up too many open looks. I thought the effort defensively, especially in the second half, was not particularly good.
The physicality wasn't there.
It was bad, dude. If they play like they played last night the rest of the way, they would be lucky to win a game.
Yes, I would agree. They won't be a playoff team. They won't be a play. They'll be struggling to make the play-in.
Right.
I mean, yeah. If you're going to drop 10 straight games, yeah, the Rockets aren't messing around. They could catch you, yeah, if you're going to miss 10 straight. It was an abomination of a game. Like, it is what it is.
Right. But the question now is, okay, looking ahead, it's trying to put this in context. It's, okay, this was a god-awful game, and if this had been a Game 7 of a playoff series or a play-in elimination game, then we'll be in here talking about how the sky is falling.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, as poorly and as god-awful and as terrible as they played last night, we're sitting here going into Friday, and I don't want to come in here because I know radio hosts who are like this, and I try not to be the oh my God, I'm way overreacting this way one day, and then, oh, something else happened on the other side. Okay, now I'm going to swing the pendulum and I'm going to be way over here this time. It was in a vacuum, last night, it was one of the worst games they played all year, point blank, period.
Oh, it's horrible.
Full stop.
Yep.
In a huge spot.
Yep.
Like, you're on national TV, and we sit here and we talk about it all the time, and we have for years in Sacramento. Like, man, the national coverage of this team is just not there. And then when you go show out like that on TNT,
mm-hmm,
against Luka and Kyrie, who are already in that spotlight, people go, oh yeah, see, that there's the Kings.
Well, not only that, but
that sucks.
The Lakers game went double overtime, so most people had to go like turn to True TV, or they just kept watching the other game.
Yeah.
And so they missed a really good first half,
mm-hmm,
or at least a good portion of the first half. They might have watched like 8 minutes of the second quarter and been like, okay, mm-hmm, this isn't, you know, the Kings aren't playing that well, or, you know, whatever. It's a, mm-hmm, close game. And then what they take away is the third and fourth quarters.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good. Yeah. I mean, it was a disaster of a game. And, you know, but now you have 2 days to recover. And, like, look, the other thing is they still have a 2-1 season advantage on the Dallas,
right,
Mavericks.
That's just it. If last night had been for the season series and they lost it,
yeah,
then the conversation would be much, much different.
Yeah, I totally agree.
But it's trying to, and that's kind of what we opened the show talking about, was like, it's the difficulty of, okay, you called it
an abomination.
It was an abomination.
It was.
It's a complete crap.
That's, anything else?
This is completely BS.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really surprised that you.
I was.
Scotty Barnes.
No, not that one. Not that one.
All the other ones, not
all
that
the
one.
All the other ones.
Scotty Barnes had nothing to do with this one.
No, it was.
It's ridiculous, and we're tired of it.
Yeah, we are.
The board is just talking for itself at this point.
I didn't even click that one.
Yeah.
No, and that's it's trying to, okay, wrap our arms around that, and we will. We'll continue discussing last night's game and some of the things that went wrong. I have a list of things that I thought went particularly poorly for the Kings.
Okay.
And we'll talk about those, and which thing went the most wrong. We'll do all that.
Yep.
But at the same time, it's important to keep an eye on the next game, because this team is still in the thick of a playoff race. And the fact remains that if they win on Friday, and this team all year, it feels like every time that shoe we've been waiting to drop since last year,
mm-hmm,
every time it feels like, oh man, okay, here it comes. Here comes this 6-game losing skid. They bounce back and they figure it out.
Yep.
So that's what I'm going to go off of. And if they go get smoked again on Friday night, the conversation Monday will be a lot different. But they got housed badly at home.
Yep.
We'll discuss it. We'll have James' 6 quick thoughts coming up. We'll talk about what things went the most wrong. We'll have a notebook dump. We'll look around the NBA. We got a ton of stuff to talk about.
We do.
So... no, you're not going to get any excuses. Because there's not anything got kicked in the teeth.
They did.
I don't know what else to say.
It's fine.
All right, let's get to Six Quick Thoughts next with me and James Hamm. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Tough one for the Kings last night. 132-96.
Yeesh.
I went into last night thinking that I was like, okay, I got a feel for the Kings now. What an idiot.
Fooled you.
I think this is a game they're going to go get by like 20. And then Friday we'll get like a really, really high level game. And that is not what happened.
Ugh. Yeah.
That's my fault. Also, I'm not taking the blame on this one. I know we broke the curse against, who was it? Who did we break the curse against?
The Bucks?
Yes, it was the Bucks game.
I think it was the Bucks.
Yeah, we broke the curse against the Bucks. But I'm not wearing that one. The Kings were just bad.
Yeah, I don't think you have to wear, like, Kyle, I know we always joke around, we're both superstitious dudes.
Yes.
I don't think you have to wear most of these losses. I mean, there are a couple there that I think were 100% your fault.
But, this one not on me.
But overall, yeah, I don't think this one's on you.
All right. You want to do Six Quick Thoughts?
Yeah, I think we, I mean, they should be sponsored by somebody, but okay. Yeah, I think we have to do them either way.
How'd yesterday's Kings game go? Kings insider James Hamm has six notes you need to know. Here are James Hamm's six quick thoughts.
All right, here you go, James Hamm. Six quick thoughts. Let's get to them.
Let's just make them really quick. The Please. Duo. Luka and Kyrie just tore the living bleep out of the Kings. They combined for 52 points, 14 rebounds, 13 assists. I think it's 14 and 14. 14 rebounds, 14 assists. They just kept adding things.
And they
at
just
the
traded
end.
Halves. It was Luka with 26 in the first half. It was Kyrie, I think he had 18 in the second half.
Yeah, he was unbelievable.
I mean, come on, man.
And it's just like the guaranteed shot making where you're just like, oh, that ball's going down. There's no question.
Yeah. Yeah. If they're going to cook like that and then also get 34 combined from Tim Hardaway Jr. and PJ Washington.
Oh, yeah. It's over.
I mean, come on. And that is why, and we'll discuss this in a bit, but that's why Dallas is dangerous, dude. Mm-hmm. Like what you saw that duo do last night.
Yeah, I totally agree. I just don't know. I mean, they've proven time and time again this season that their style of play is not sustainable.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
No doubt. Number two.
Shadowed. The Mavs had a player pick up De'Aaron Fox in the backcourt from the opening tip. They had him shadowed with a long athletic defender all night long. It didn't matter where he was going. It was almost like they had a spotter on him. Mm-hmm. He finished with an okay game, 18 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. But at the same time, I thought he forced, he got into playing like Kyrie does.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not De'Aaron Fox's style.
Yes, it was kind of interesting because there was a point the Kings were down 8 and De'Aaron went and had 7 straight points. And that was in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, okay, this might be a game where De'Aaron has to take over. And I don't think that's the way it needs to be done if he's going to take over a game. We talk about all the time his playmaking and his ability to set up his teammates. That was a spot where I would like to see him getting in the paint and affecting the game that way. And it didn't feel like a De'Aaron Fox game.
No.
Felt like a lot of forcing it.
I totally feel like that's what we've seen a couple of games here where he starts to feel the gravity of what's happening and knows that like he has to step up.
Yeah.
He's that dude. And then it becomes like not the right style of basketball.
Yeah. Well, and especially if he's not going to drive and get the calls that some of these guys get, it's just, if you're going to be able to get hammered in the lane and not be able to get a shot on the rim and there's not going to be a call.
Yeah, if a guy is literally piggybacking you all the way through the lane and then you drop a hip into him and they call you for an offensive foul when the guy was draped all over you for the 3 seconds before that,
crazy.
Then I understand being upset.
Nutty. Yep. Number three.
55. Domantas Sabonis posted his 55th consecutive double-double. Wasn't great, though. 13 points, 9 assists, 12 rebounds.
Could not care less about the double-double last night.
Maybe
he was
12
bad.
Points. He was. 3 of 10 from the field. He was bad.
It was. That is the exact type of game where they talked about it post-game. Keegan Murray did, De'Aaron Fox and Mike Brown, how their bigs played up. And Mike Brown said, Domas has to fake and turn and get inside himself there.
Yep.
And, like, dude, he took a bunch of jumpers early. I like that.
Yeah.
Because if the Mavs are going to give them to you, you got to take them. But I was not impressed at all by Sabonis last night.
No, and I'd also say, effective. Like, look at the week and the couple of weeks that he's had mm-hmm. where it's just like, they are relying on him for everything. Mm-hmm. And we talk about shooters having, you know, this moment where they aren't as effective.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Domas doesn't really have, I mean, a 3-for-10, that's really not that bad. It's a one-off. But because of the way he's relied on, he has taken a beating.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be a lull. And we've been waiting for it forever. Mm-hmm. I mean, 55 consecutive double-doubles is crazy.
That's tough.
And
not
so,
a lot of people do that,
no.
Turns out.
It does turn out that post-merger, yeah. Not a lot of people do that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Post-merger. Number 4.
Playoff Malik? Question mark? No. He went 1 of 7 to start the game, and it didn't get much better. And he has not had a great couple of weeks here since the All-Star break. He hasn't been shooting that well. And you can see him trying to fight through it. I think it's better than it was last year when he started to have a cold stretch. It was just horrific,
mm-hmm.
and it lasted like 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's usually like 3 or 4 games where he has some trouble shooting, but overall, just not good enough in a big game.
Since the All-Star break, Malik Monk, 43.1% from the field, 27.6% from 3. Oof. Not great.
Not great.
Number 5.
Strong performance. One of the few bright spots, Keegan Murray, 6 of 11 from the field, 17 points, 3 rebounds. I need him to rebound more, mm-hmm. but I also thought, hey, look, he's defending Luka for stretches. He's defending all kinds of different people.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was good, and he mm-hmm. needs to shoot more, and, you know, we keep talking about that, but it's better. He's building on something you can kind of quietly see.
He would be a beneficiary of what we talked about with De'Aaron Fox. If Fox, in those moments, you know, trying to score for sure, but when he gets into the paint, kicking out to Keegan,
mm-hmm.
Then you'd see, instead of 11 field goal attempts, you'd maybe see 15 or 16. And instead of 17 points, you'd see maybe 24 or 25. And now we're talking about that game a lot differently. I agree with you. I thought it was a pretty good Keegan game. Number 6.
Number 6, settling in. Keon Ellis scored 7 points in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they foolishly went away from him. He scored 7 points in like the first 3 minutes of the game.
Mm-hmm.
He scored 10, and he got an and-1 in the fourth quarter. He never took another shot outside of that. And so for me, they need to understand that the other team is leaving him open. And this is sort of a larger problem that this game had. It's that they just, you know, Mike talks about the spray 3. We heard a lot about it last night again. They just didn't look for it in the second half. They just went away from who they are as a team, and that's why they got stomped.
Yeah, 4 of 5 for Keon Ellis, 1 of 2 beyond the arc. I think he is a credible offensive player.
Mm-hmm.
And his usage last night, 28 minutes. And maybe it's just because the Mavs were attacking the Kings defense in a way that Keon wasn't as effective. It is a minus 24 in his 28 minutes, but yeah.
I would even say
I don't think they need to lean on him offensively, but he's not the kind of player that when the Kings get down big and they're like, dang, we need some buckets, get Keon off the floor.
Yeah.
It just doesn't.
You have to utilize him better. And yeah. I would point out that some of the players that we talk about and his sort of type style of player, right? This mm-hmm. defensive minded crazy guy,
mm-hmm.
Gary Payton III, Matisse Thybulle. Second, my bad. Matisse Thybulle, mm-hmm. right? He's got a lot more shooting ability than any of those guys.
Uh-huh.
And in the Kings style of offense, that actually matters.
Yeah.
And so he's a better fit.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as he continues to get better defensively, which I think he will, he'll only get better. Yeah, he's going to be a nice player to have.
Yep. I'm right there with you. We all know how I feel about Keon. Big Keon guy.
Yep.
I took a bunch of notes last night.
I love it.
And as I was going through, I was like, you know what? Instead of trying to turn this into something on the radio, I'm just going to start reading my notes and you can just stop me and we can talk about it.
Oh.
If there's something that jumps out to you.
Okay.
I'll try and keep it to the interesting ones. I wrote down some stuff that's probably not going to matter. I'll try and filter all that out.
About squirrels and stuff?
Just, dude, yeah. Just like, yeah. Kelly Green, Maxi Kleba jersey to my right.
Oh.
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
No, we'll leave that out. And then, you know, so much stuff went wrong for the Kings last night. What went the most wrong? We'll go through that as well. Right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I want to remind everybody, we got watch parties.
Ooh, I'm excited.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Sweet 16 action.
Mmm.
That's going to be D'Lo, KC, Jesse, out at Bar West starting at 4 o'clock.
Nice.
Bar West at 2724 J Street. I think that's the address. Trying to do this from memory. Yeah, I nailed it. 2724 J Street.
There it is.
Down in Midtown, a Sweet 16 watch party. D'Lo, KC, and Jesse starting at 4 o'clock. Get down there, have some drinks, have some food, watch a little hoop. And then tonight, 6:30 p.m., big time game for the Kings. Phoenix at Denver.
Mm.
We're carrying that game right here on ESPN 1320, so make sure to check that out and root hard for Denver.
Yeah.
That's a significant game for the Kings.
Yeah, this is
we'll
part
be carrying
of,
it for you right here on 1320.
this is part of that stretch where, I mean, it's just brutal what the Suns are left with. 6.45 win percentage against in their final 10 games.
Oof.
They don't have an easiest opponent.
Yeah, that's on tank. Turn.
They don't have one.
Denver, OKC, Pels, all on the road. Cleveland, Minnesota, Pels. The Clippers might literally be their easiest games left.
They have two against the Clippers, two against the Timberwolves, two against the Pelicans, and then the Cavs, the Nuggets, and OKC.
Which makes their 42-30 record even more baffling. With as good as they should be, with as easy as their schedule has been to this point.
Yes.
That they're 42-30? Ugh.
Here's a kicker for you, Kyle. I'm looking at their toughest opponents. They have, and again, I'm counting them up. So Denver, OKC, two against Timberwolves, mm-hmm. two against the Clippers, one against the Cavs, two against the Pelicans. That's nine games. Their 10th opponent is the Sacramento Kings, who don't make the list of toughest
wow.
opponents.
Just based on win percentage?
Yeah. Yeah. Their easiest game on the schedule is the Sacramento Kings that are left. A team that they're like neck and neck with.
I'm going through the Suns schedule right now and grabbing all the losses to teams that aren't currently a top six seed. It's a lot of them. It's not great.
Mm.
Oh, we got Atlanta in here. We got Golden State in here. We got Houston. Got two to Houston. We've got Boston, a top six seed. Yeah, right.
That's Boston.
That's joking. The Spurs without Victor Wembanyama.
Mm.
Got a couple to the Lakers. A couple to the Kings. They got the Nets, the Blazers. I mean, boy.
Well, that and
they lost to the Spurs three times this year.
What?
Yes.
Wow.
My God.
That's not great. I mean, it's kind of the Kings lost to the Rockets four times.
No, I know.
Three or four.
I know.
Maybe it's just three.
At least the Rockets are making a push. Like, the Rockets have won nine in a row. They're a game back of the 10 seed.
Oh, yeah.
They could
yeah.
very easily wind up as a play-in team.
Yeah, they're bringing it.
At least that's the case.
Did they lose to Charlotte, Washington, Detroit, and Portland? Because the Kings did.
Well, they lost to, let's see, they lost to Atlanta. They lost to Memphis.
Oh.
They did lose one to Portland. They lost one to Brooklyn. They lost one to the Raps.
Oh?
Yeah.
Okay, so for you. Lottery teams, they lost a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, five or six.
So now they're sitting at 42-30. You'd feel a lot better about them if they were 47-25.
Yeah.
You'd feel a lot better about this stretch coming up where, yeah, okay, they're going to drop a couple, but... Or maybe they lock in and are like, all right, we're geared up, but I'm not. I'm done waiting for the Phoenix Suns 10 consecutive wins. They're back on track.
Is Kevin Durant going to play 42 minutes instead of 37 per game down the stretch?
Okay. Kevin Durant in the MVP conversation, man.
37.2 minutes per game.
Man.
Okay.
That's tough. All right.
Let's get to your notebook.
Well, do you want to do notebook first or what went the most wrong last night first?
Either way.
Let's rip through the what went the most wrong.
Okay.
All right. So the first thing I wrote down, or the first thing I have down here, Tim Hardaway Jr. and PJ Washington combining for 34.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's too many. I have the Mavs shooting 22 of 39 from three, including the non-Luka and Kyrie Mavs going 14 of 22 from three. And especially Mike Brown talked about this after the game because you know it had to irk him to no end. That the Mavs were getting in the paint where the Kings would send a double, they'd pass out of the double, and then swing one extra pass to a wide open shooter every time, every possession.
And it felt like they hit every single one of them.
Well, they hit 14 of 22, which is essentially every single one of them.
Yes. That's wild.
Yeah. The Kings, 5 of 10 on spray threes in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
1 of 4 in the second half. And if you're not familiar with the idea of the spray three, that is where player gets in the paint. I was going to pick a specific player, but any player gets in the paint, and when the defense collapses, you kick it out, conceivably for an open three.
Mm-hmm.
De'Aaron gets past, breaks down his defender, gets inside, defender collapses from the wing, throws it out, Harrison Barnes wide open three-pointer.
Yeah.
Right? That's what that's supposed to look like. That's what the Kings offense is predicated on. and they had four of them. They took four of them in the second half. They want to take 20 a game. That's Mike Brown's goal number, is 20 spray three attempts a game. And they got four in the second half.
Wow.
That's really bad. That's just a perfect encapsulation of how the Kings got out of their offense. You can't have that.
No, you can't. I mean, you have to stick to your basic tenets, and that's what you saw the Kings get away from.
Yeah.
The Mavs did what a couple of teams have done, and that is collapse on DeMarcus Cousins.
DeMontis Sabonis.
Yeah. I don't know why my brain doesn't.
Hey, every once in a while. You've never called this the wrong radio station.
No, that's true.
Come on.
That's true. yeah, I think it's one of those things where, like, you just can't get away from who you are.
Yeah,
and,
man.
And I think that that's why Mike Brown left his team in a lot longer than some people were happy with. Mm-hmm. And then it was weird. I had some people yelling and screaming, why is Mike Brown have all of his starters in the game with 6 minutes left in the fourth? And then I had this other group of people who were yelling, why does Mike Brown still have all of his starters? I mean, why is Mike Brown waving the white flag and not trying to win this game?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, first of all, you're not winning that game. You're not winning it.
They got it to like 21, and Malik had a big dunk, and the place was kind of rocking a little bit, and they got it to Keegan for an open three in the corner, and he missed.
Yeah.
They get the rebound. They get it to Davion for an open three above the break, and he missed. And at that point, it was like, wrap it up. This one's
done.
Luka, 26 first half points. Kyrie, 18 in the second half. I mean, that's tough. And then we talked about Sabonis earlier, 3 of 10, and didn't take advantage of Mavs bigs kind of pressing up and playing out of the paint.
Mm-hmm.
To me, when you're going down that list, I go to the non-Luka Kyrie stuff, because Kyrie and Luka are going to do things in a game that you just can't defend. They're going to hit shots where you have perfect defense and the ball is going to go in. It's PJ Washington wide open threes.
Yep.
It's Tim Hardaway Jr. getting whatever shot he wanted all night. That's just the kind of stuff that over the course of a game, when you play the Mavs, that's what's going to kill you. Way more than, okay, Kyrie hit some shots, Luka hit some shots. If you're letting the other guys get loose as well, you don't have a chance. And that was the disappointing part to me last night. But at the same time, I go, somebody in the chat, this is what I wanted to get to. Jim Garfinkel says, so James, do you agree with Mike Brown this time that this game was an offensive failure as opposed to a defensive failure? I actually do agree with that.
Their
offense was terrible.
It was.
And it led to so many easy buckets.
Yes.
That whether it was just a breakaway layup or what the Mavs finish with, 18 fast break points?
I think it was 19-4. Maybe it's 18?
18-5 on fast break points for the Mavs, 21 points off turnovers.
Yeah.
I mean, that just...
Ball game.
That's it.
I mean, really.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that... I mean, Mike's point isn't that their defense was okay. His point is that it's really hard to play defense, and your defense looks much worse when you're chasing somebody who's going in for a layup on a break.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, you take away... If you put them at the 5 points that the Kings finished at, and they end up, you know, 14 points less, the game looks a lot different.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just not that type of track meet. And, yeah, really, really tough.
Yeah, and the other thing that I think Mike Brown was trying to drive home, because he said, like, the effort wasn't good enough anywhere, but it's not as though last night undoes the last 2 weeks of really good defense the Kings have been playing. It's like, well, they've been figured out. They can't get stops anymore. It was, they were struggling a little bit defensively, and then when the offensive wheels came off, that's where you saw the game really get away from them.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah. So here's what I wrote down last night. I broke it down into quarters.
Okay.
I'm very organized. I wrote down just some of the matchups. Keon Ellis started the game on Kyrie. Keegan started the game on Luka. And then they had DeMontis Sabonis on PJ Washington, and we mentioned this earlier, they just attacked that with a pick and roll and got PJ Washington on Domas, and then Domas is trying to double and trying to help on Luka, and it just
And actually, what happened was the Kings ended up switching Domas back to Gafford.
Yes.
And that's when the Kings went on a run, and and Luka started to make a bunch of mistakes.
Yes.
Then, so even when Gafford came out for the high screen and roll, you didn't have to support him the same way.
Yeah.
And so it was okay, like, to rush Luka because Gafford's not going to slide over and take a three.
Yeah.
He's only going to roll
He's
to the rim.
Only rolling, yeah.
And then your defense can collapse on that. You might get caught in, like, a spray three situation where he's collapsing the defense, but that's okay because he's not a natural passer or anything like that. And I thought Luka made, a bunch of mistakes, and that's why you went into half only down five. You could have even been down less. I mean, the Kings blew a couple of opportunities in the final seconds.
Yeah.
So I think that that was an interesting thing that they tried to do, but I think it might be something that, like, the switchability and during the playoffs, Domas is going to have to do that. He's going to have to defend those guys.
Yeah.
And the fact is that every time you left PJ Washington open, he hit a shot.
Yeah.
That's it.
Happens sometimes. I also noted that Davion and Keegan got turns on Kyrie as well. And I thought the Kings did a pretty good job on him in the first half, but Luka was just, he was too good. I noted that Luka was guarding Harrison Barnes. I thought that was something the Kings needed to attack a little more. It felt like the Mavs were hunting switches and hunting mismatches, and I just did not feel like the Kings did that enough. Luka was questionable with Achilles soreness. You could tell he wasn't moving 100% right.
Yep.
It's like, man, I would love to see them get him in spots, or whether it's Harrison Barnes or De'Aaron Fox or whoever, make him work a little more defensively. I didn't think they did that. They did that a little bit early. I didn't think they did it enough.
Yeah, I thought that De'Aaron kept getting switched on the offensive end, kept getting switched on Luka, and then running right by him, and he wasn't effective with his pull up. He missed a couple of wide open pull ups in the lane, and Luka doesn't even try. Luka just, like, tries to grab you as he's trying to fight through the screen. He's trying to reach out and grab the player and just get a foul call. I mean, it's why Luka had five fouls last night.
Yeah.
And he complained about every single one of them, and every single one of them was straight up a foul.
I'm going to give him some credit.
Oh.
He complained about four of them.
Okay.
The one where he blocked, I think it was Keegan, going in for a dunk, and he fouled him as he was going up.
Yep.
He immediately turned around with a hand up.
Oh, okay.
Tried to help him up. Went over to told Keegan, I'm pretty sure it was Keegan, like, hey, my bad.
I think he was worried he was going to get called for a flagrant. Because, it was a defenseless player in the air.
Yeah, yeah.
And he tried to block Keegan off sideways. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So he did that one.
He did acknowledge.
Like, hey, that was me, I got him.
That was me, I did it.
But the rest of them,
The whole game. The whole game.
Show the replay, clearly grab and hack. Like, oh my God, dude, look.
Like, are you watching?
Yeah. I really liked the De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk, Fox, Monk, Ellis, Keegan, Alex Len lineup. I like that lineup a lot.
Man, Alex Len is,
dude.
I dig Alex Len.
More
man.
On Alex Len coming.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I thought that early in the game, in the first half, the pace that that Fox and Monk were playing in the half court was crazy. They were sprinting at the rim again and again, like. They just kept coming at them in waves, but they weren't getting the ball to fall. And I think that they got a little frustrated and kind of lost their way.
I thought Domas took three jumpers in the first 6 minutes. And, I'm here for that. If a team's going to give it to you, you have to take it. You have to knock that down to the point that people start guarding him differently. But I love the confidence that he was taking those. Like you said, they didn't necessarily fall. Also, we saw him a couple times put the ball on the deck and really pressure the rim, like, with pace. Talking about Domas here, he had the one where Derek Lively fouled him because he just put him in a blender, and Lively jumped and then just kind of fell on top of him.
Oh, yeah.
To keep him from getting a shot up. And then the next possession, same thing. He dribbled in. He made a really nice move and made a sweet pass out to Keegan for a three. It's like, man, that's what I love to see, that when he's putting the ball on the deck and pressuring the rim. And you saw the Mavs in those cases, they're scrambling. Now they're collapsing, and now Domas is, with as good a vision as he has and as good of a passer as he is, you're going to get open threes that way. I'd like to see more of that.
Yeah, you just have to keep doing it. You know, get away from it. And I don't like these games where Fox ends up with three assists.
Yeah.
You know, and Monk for the same thing. You know, Monk has had 5 assists in a ton of games this season.
Mm-hmm.
But these guys have to have 5 assists, 6 assists every single game. And even with Fox, he needs to have games where it's more than that. Like it's,
no doubt.
And it can't just be as he's having a assist night, because he does that on occasion too, where he's just not aggressive offensively.
Yeah.
And he just, well, he can be aggressive offensively, but he's not aggressive looking for his own shot, and mm-hmm. he's just having an assist night.
Yeah.
He needs to mix those up a little bit.
Yeah, you can do both. You can definitely do both. In the second quarter, and Barnes was on Luka to start. Also noted the Mavs went 6 of 8 from 3 to start the game.
Mm.
And that's notable because it didn't really stop. They never cooled off at all.
Yeah.
Here you go. I wrote Alex Len, the 5 they need, question mark.
Yeah, Alex is playing good so player, well, dude. Man.
Yeah.
He is, and it's in, you know, it's tough. It's 10 minutes a night,
mm-hmm.
but some of the blocks he's had lately, and not only that, but he's defending the goal.
Yes.
Not just like getting a block here and there. He's defending the goal. There's like 3 or 4 other shots
mm-hmm.
that teams are missing because he's there.
Yeah, he's affecting shots for
sure.
Yeah, man, I've been really, really impressed with Alex Len. And again, mm-hmm. not to the point where I'm like, yeah, you got to get him 20 minutes.
No.
But I think if you're in a spot where, you can get Domas an extra couple of minutes off a night,
mm-hmm.
and Alex Len can give you effective minutes on both ends,
because mm-hmm.
he just does the right things offensively, he's in the right places defensively. I thought he was really good last night, and that's just kind of an expansion of what we've seen from him really all year, but particularly recently, I thought he's been really good.
Okay.
Do you feel like the quick timeouts have upticked since the All-Star break?
No, I don't think it's that noticeable.
Hmm, okay.
I mean, it's not like the beginning of last year where 20 seconds into a game, Mike Brown's already called a timeout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And actually, I think Luka that there are times where they needed timeouts to stop a run, mm-hmm. to like recenter.
Yeah.
But I also feel like every time they come out of one of those timeouts, they make some stupid offensive turnover.
Sure. 8:53, or so what is that? Little more than 3 minutes into the second quarter, back to back Luka threes, quick timeout, try and fix it. Another Domas jumper. I wrote just Kyrie, man. That's what I wrote down.
Well, thoughts? When he starts going, he's one of the most elite, again, shot makers in the league. Like mm-hmm. it's just ridiculous what he's able to do.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's right, you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Like it doesn't matter who he's up against.
Yeah.
You know, he's one of a handful of players in the league that can do just about anything on a court.
The full speed dribble behind the back to create separation and then stopping to pull up after that dribble behind the back is just...
He's the best ball handler in the league.
It's so silly, and it's not even... Yeah. I don't even think it's close.
No. The players will tell you it's not close.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
There was a point in the... So when De'Aaron Fox got his tech... It was a 54-50 game. De'Aaron Fox gets called for a foul on Luka,
mm-hmm.
gets teed up. Luka goes and misses the technical free throw, and the crowd is just whipped into a frenzy.
Yeah.
Now, Luka hits both of the free throws to make it 56-50, but that was a point in the game where I thought the Kings really had Golden 1 on their side. I thought that was a really big opportunity to... make a little bit of a run before the half,
mm-hmm.
and not taking advantage of that little 2-minute stretch because they came down. De'Aaron Fox misses a layup. Doncic gets it stolen by Fox. Keegan Murray misses one of his 2 free throws. Exum then misses a layup after a block by Malik Monk. That was the block right there under the basket.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kings come down, turnover. And then Doncic gets fouled, hits a couple free throws. Fox turnover. It's like, man, that was a spot to me where you could have really either taken the lead or gained momentum and wrestled that game kind of away after the Mavs had sort of controlled it for the first half.
Yep.
And they didn't.
That block by Monk was incredible.
That was so sick.
Yeah.
It's like he wasn't even looking at the play and then realized there was somebody in the air and went, oh, I got to go get this.
Yeah. His reaction time is wild. Yeah. Like quick twitch muscle.
Here are 2 things from the third quarter, and then we can kind of punt the rest of this because this is when it got out of hand. Mm-hmm. One thing, I did think the crowd energy was still really good last night, even when it was like a 23-point game in the third quarter.
Yeah.
Had a couple of Malik dunks that got the place fired up. No, two things. One, the third quarter started really frenetically, and with the way the Kings have been playing defensively lately, I'm not sure that frenetic pace really helps them anymore.
Huh.
I think quick is fine, but that, like, hey, throw the ball ahead, long outlet pass, layup, okay, hey, now we're trying to run back and play defense. Okay, now let's see if we can get a steal, now another long. I just don't, those stretches where it feels like there should be Benny Hill music playing.
Oh, yeah.
It felt like they thrived in those last year, and this year, at least right now, with how they've played the last couple of weeks and the success we've seen them have really since the All-Star break, I don't know that that is good for them anymore. I don't know that the game, like I said, playing with pace is still going to be something they want to do. But I think you eliminate some of the ability to play with physicality and the organization that they have thrived on defensively since the All-Star break.
Yeah.
I think that goes away when it's like, oh, miss layup, throw ahead. Oh, quick steal. Okay, now throw it ahead. Oh, no, another block. Now we got it. That just, the made shot, pull it out. Let's go. Let's get running. I don't know that that's the move anymore.
Okay, so there's something hidden within that.
Okay.
It's that if you're throwing it ahead and if you're not scoring the basket,
mm-hmm.
then your defense doesn't have time to set up.
Right.
So if you're going down and you're doing something silly and you have this frenetic pace, but your offensive numbers start to dip, then your defensive mm-hmm. numbers are going to dip.
Yes.
And that's the big problem that mm-hmm. I see, where if you're not, you know, going down and scoring every single basket,
mm-hmm.
you're going to get in trouble. Now, there's also the track meet where, you know, it's just score basket. The other team pulls the ball out. Boom, they're already coming at you on the other end.
Mm-hmm.
That does happen as well. But I just feel like this team, they are letting their offense dictate their defense on some of these plays. And that's because it's sort of part and parcel of the same thing.
The other thing that jumped out to me was I thought Harrison Barnes was pretty good last night, particularly just affecting the game without shooting. What did he end up with? 6 rebounds. Thought he was a little more aggressive going to the basket. But I'm still waiting on a game where, and I understand shot distribution, I understand offensive pecking order, but I would love to see a game where we have Harrison Barnes and Keegan Murray both being aggressive at the same time.
Mm.
Where it feels like when Keegan's hitting shots, Harrison Barnes is just over there in the corner hanging out and getting rid of the ball as soon as it gets to him.
Yep.
And I would love to see, hey, Keegan's hit a couple shots, but hey, it's to Barnes in the corner, puts it on the deck because the guy in front of him can't stay in front of him anyways, puts the ball on the deck, breaks the defense down. Those things happen individually, but I felt like last night there were too many instances if it was like my turn, your turn, with them being third in the offensive hierarchy.
Yeah.
And I think there's room for both of them.
No, I think there is, especially with Keon Ellis in the lineup.
Yes.
Yeah,
definitely.
I mean, I think that there is. So there's more shots to go around.
Last thing on this. Derek Lively can play. Not that he was a future All-NBA guy last night or anything like that.
Yeah.
But I think if you look at the box score, there's no column for shots affected. I think he affected a ton of shots at the rim last night.
I think him and Gafford are really, really similar.
Yes.
And I think Lively's career path is going to have him sort of follow the same path
mm-hmm.
where he gets bigger, he gets stronger,
mm-hmm.
and you appreciate him more in like year three, year four.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a ball player, but I also like, I think he's really sloppy with his footwork.
Mm-hmm.
I think he plays out of control quite a bit. That doesn't mean he's not talented, that he can't score, he can't rebound,
no doubt.
And all that stuff. He is kind of a big, physical, slightly out of control guy.
There were a couple times where the Kings got to the rim and he just went vertical.
Oh yeah,
straight up, and he gets so high when he jumps.
Yeah, same with Gafford too.
Freak,
Gafford came into the league as like 195-pound, you know, 7-footer, or maybe 220, but now he's grown. He's a full grown man now, and you know they're a really interesting duo. They don't mm-hmm. give you anything different.
Mm-hmm.
They're repetitive pieces,
mm-hmm.
but they're still good.
Yeah. Overall, I was just, you know, King struggles aside.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this a little bit yesterday. It feels like the Mavs are starting to come together a little bit in a way that I believe in their roster a little bit more now than I did pre-trade deadline.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do too.
Yeah.
PJ Washington. I like him.
Yeah. Did the Kings get any help last night around the NBA? They certainly didn't help themselves. We'll take a look at the NBA scoreboard and why I am officially out on the Milwaukee Bucks. We'll talk about it next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.